We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
And now, New Galaxy Enterprises proudly presents Inalienable and Free, a program addressing the grave challenges to human and citizen rights in America and the rest of the world. How can we, the people of Earth, take back the power and privileges granted to us by God and address so significantly in the Declaration of Independence? Our rights are inalienable, that is, given by God and incapable of being taken away from or given by another. These rights are the basis of liberty, the foundation of all life and happiness. This is Johnny Bluestar. My company, New Galaxy Enterprises, is a California corporation specializing in the creation of media and promotional content. Projects could be nonfiction books or novels, screenplays, commercials, audio or video products, musical scores for ads, TV or film, etc. If you need help to accomplish your goals, visit newgalaxyenterprises.com or contact me at johnnybluestar@gmail.com. Turn your vision into a dazzling media reality. Manifest your media dream today. Good morning, Hugo.
Good morning.
Well, we're back on Inalienable and Free after facing, I would say, one of the most tumultuous news weeks or tumultuous Trump-oriented news weeks there's ever been. And that's amazing because they're all about Trump and his exploits.
I got to tell you, I quit watching the news a long time ago. I just fed up with so much deception and grandstanding, and you can see the hands of corporations in the news. I quit watching, but I started again when Mr. Trump began to run for office because it was so entertaining. And so it's been that way ever since. After winning the election, I cannot miss a single day because there's always some drama. And so highly entertaining. I recommend it.
Well, for me, I was interested in stuff like this but at one point I realized sort of the dangers we were facing because I started to work for a organization that was basically trying to affect better voter participation through an online process. And that really, I really saw the possibilities of doing something that would change things. And as you know, we're both working towards that end, not just having a radio show, but having a way that people can actually exercise their freedom to vote and to try and get some of the right people in. But facing this news, although it's entertaining to me, it's also been kind of horrifying. And I have to occasionally just take a break because every day there's something comes up that I agree with you. It's comical, but it also is kind of depressing. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
To think that our country is descending so rapidly into this. But let's play something about one of his most recent exploits. It made a lot of news. It's not the only part of the news this week, but it's something we can begin with.
Less than 24 hours after asking, why are we having all these people from shithole countries come here? President Trump stood at a White House podium today and without any sense of irony said this.
Today we celebrate Dr. King for standing up for the self-evident truth Americans hold so dear that no matter what the color of our skin or the place of our birth, we are all created equal by God.
I apologize to you for having said that word and for having to have to say that word tonight, but it's the President of the United States. Today he denied, by the way, using the word S-hole to describe countries in Africa during an immigration meeting with lawmakers yesterday, tweeting this morning, quote, "The language used by me at the DACA meeting was tough, but this was not the language used." And despite reports that the President also said, quote, "Why do we need more Haitians? Take them out." Trump tweeted, quote, "Never said anything derogatory about Haitians other than Haiti is obviously a very poor and troubled country. Never said take them out, made up by Dems. I have a wonderful relationship with Haitians. Probably should record future meetings. Unfortunately, no trust." We don't have a recording of that meeting. Well, it would be nice, actually, maybe if the president did record some of these meetings so we wouldn't be deliberating about whether he actually said these things. But there were seven members of Congress in the Oval Office with the president yesterday. Two of them, Senators Tom Cotton and David Perdue, say, get this, they can't recall the president saying those comments specifically. These guys have bad memories if they can't recall whether he said S-hole specifically in relation to people from an entire continent, many of whom are dark-skinned. But other senators have better memories. Here's Illinois Senator Dick Durbin today.
I cannot believe that in the history of the White House, in that Oval Office, any president has ever spoken the words that I personally heard our president speak yesterday. You've seen the comments in the press. I've not read one of them that's inaccurate. To no surprise, the president started tweeting this morning denying that he used those words. It is not true. He said these hate-filled things, and he said them repeatedly. My colleague, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, spoke up and made a direct comment on what the president said. For him to confront the president as he did, literally sitting next to him, took extraordinary political courage, and I respect him for it.
Now, Senator Lindsey Graham subsequently released this statement. Following comments by the president, I said my piece directly to him yesterday. The president and all those attending the meeting know what I said and how I feel. I've always believed that America is an idea, not defined by its people, but by its ideals. And that's a sentiment shared by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who would have turned 88 on Monday. Here's what the press pool asked President Trump after the ceremony commemorating Dr. King's life and legacy.
Mr. President, will you give an apology for the statement yesterday?
Mr. President, did you refer to African nations? Use the word shithole to refer to African nations, sir.
Are you amazing?
Thank you. Mr. President, did you have anything to add for your comment, sir?
Mr. President, can you respond to these statements about the statement, sir?
No, Mr. President,
after the law, I'm talking to the president. I'm talking to you. Mr. President, are you amazing?
All of that really happened. Joining us now, Sam Jean is an attorney born in Haiti and emigrated to the United States with his family, including his brother, musician Wyclef Jean. Nancy Giles is an Emmy-winning contributor to CBS News Sunday Morning and the host of the Giles Files podcast. And Mark Thompson is the host of Make It Plain on Sirius XM Radio. Thanks to all of you for spending this Friday evening with me on a conversation that I would never have predicted we were going to have. Sam Jean, let's start with you. More than 800,000 people of Haitian descent in the United States, probably more once you start going back further. What's your reaction?
Well, my reaction is what the reaction of any decent person would be, whether they're Haitian, American, Kenyan, or Canadian. It's disgusting, it's vile, and it's racist. And I don't think that we need to ask the president whether he's a racist or not. The president's words, they speak for themselves. Its bigotry speaks for itself. I think, though, the problem that I have most of all with this is we know who the president is. We know what the president is. He's been having this conversation. He's been saying these things for 3 years. What I want to know is what the senators, the representatives, the members of Congress, what they intend to do to stop this man.
Yep.
Because this man is doing this because he knows he can say whatever he wants, and there are no consequences to the words that he uses, the bigotry that he espouses.
Well, what do you think of that?
It's just stunning. Just totally stunning.
It's amazing. Yes, it just is.
I've mentioned to you before my medical opinion of the man.
Yes.
And we don't need to dwell on it, but I agree with those people who find him incompetent for the office because of health reasons. So
I think maybe one of his one part of his health reasons is that his tongue was split in half, and he's got a forked tongue. You know,
amazing.
He's always giving two different messages, and the message that of like Martin Luther King that always is overshadowed by the message of racism and bigotry and trying to get people out of this country and saying terrible things, and then he just. It doesn't faze him to go ahead and have a little speech about Martin Luther King.
Well, somebody wrote it for him. Those are not his words. Moreover, those are not his ideas. You know, the thing about make America great again? No. Let's just be truthful. It's let's make America white again.
Yeah. Or let's make America great for me again. It's just, yeah, it is. It's like, how did this happen? How how did we descend this far? We apparently were growing a group of people who are basically extremely prejudiced and extremely amenable to promises by somebody who they respect because he's wealthy.
Yes. Couple of things, Johnny.
Yeah.
One, we're fortunate to have Representative Mia Love here in Utah. Now, I say fortunate. I don't agree with anything the woman says. I say fortunate because she's from Haiti, or I should say she was born there and came with her parents when she was a child, immigrated to the U.S., and they've done well. You know, they've lived the American dream. So Mia Love blasted Mr. Trump for these remarks, and she so far, up to now, had been a total 100% supporter of this man. And so it goes to show you that there are Republicans who understand we have a problem. And those Republicans in the room who don't recall the words, they are just as guilty. Their hands are just as soiled, in my opinion, to do nothing in the face of evil. It makes you part of the problem. The other point I wanted to make, Johnny, is that I think I may have mentioned that I watch French news, that they have an international channel that I subscribe to. And I'm going to tell you, the French have a lot of problems too, okay? So I don't want to make it sound like they're better or anything. But it's healthy to hear other perspectives. And you probably know that the French have been struggling with sort of the same issues. That gave rise to Le Pen. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this man has consistently gotten 10 to 20% of the vote in France. And then his daughter ran against Macron last year. And people were really threatened because she was getting double those percentages of votes. So the French were urged to go to to go out to vote so that Macron's supporters would not be diluted, and then hand the election to Le Pen's daughter. And so luckily Macron won, but the point I'm making is that this rise of bigotry, of Nazism, if you will,
mm-hmm.
is sort of an international problem created because rich countries have been oppressing through fake loans and economic issues that have kept these countries down. And so then they become S-holes, if you will, because economically they've been handed a bad hand. And so then they are forced to immigrate. If we were to change that and stop treating these countries so poorly, help them a little bit to turn the corner, we wouldn't have them emigrating here. Why would they want to come here and be treated like this?
Yeah. You know, that kind of is a good introduction to something I want to read to you called Trump and His Shithole Remark, The Story Nobody Is Talking About by John Rappaport. I will say this. The John Rappaport takes a certain position on this. He ignores the immigration aspect of it, but I think he is saying something extremely important that we should discuss, just totally in line with what you were saying. So if it's okay, I'll read this to you, okay?
Sure.
Okay, so he's saying, you're not a terrorist, you aren't trying to emigrate, you aren't a refugee who refuses to assimilate, who feels entitled to abuse his wife in any way he wants to for any reason. You're not a member of the vicious MS-13 gang, you're not involved in child sex trafficking, you're not making any anchor babies. You're not a pirate, a kidnapper, a street thug, or a drug dealer. You're one of the millions and millions of people who simply live out their lives where they are. You represent a far larger population than all the above categories put together. You and your family call home a tiny shack in a large, crowded city in an African country. Your family has existed in the throes of poverty and extreme hunger for many generations. You drink water that is pumped directly from untreated sewage. Garbage is strewn on the streets. Riot and wars erupt from time to time, and so do epidemics, because no one in your neighborhood has a healthy body that can fight off germs. All around the city, there's fertile, growing land, but most of it's been taken over by transnational agri-corporations. I can predict with certainty that the last thing you care about is whether the President of the United States has called your country a shithole. You're not circulating a petition protesting his remark and sending it to the United Nations. You're not watching outraged commentators on CNN excoriating the president. You're not reading tweets from liberals who are triggered by Trump. You're not watching YouTube videos made by college students in Boston. You're wondering whether or not your sick daughter is going to survive the night. You do care about medical teams that sweep through the neighborhood and vaccinate everyone because you've seen adults and children die after the shots. You aren't comparing the talking heads on Fox with the talking heads on WSNBC to see who's parsing what. You aren't poring over the Washington Post. You do know that the dictator of your country, the latest in a long line of psychopaths, has sold everything that isn't nailed down to foreign predatory corporations. You're told that half a century ago, there was a local leader who might not have been a psychopath and the CIA killed him. You do know that you and your people have been targets of exploitation for more than 100 years. If you were somehow made aware of Trump's remark, you might wonder why no one is actually doing something to change the circumstances of life in your country. That's the only question for you, and you don't see any help coming. You also know that chemicals from a mining company and a sugar company nearby have been seeping into the soil and making people sick and killing them. Why doesn't someone stop that? You aren't analyzing what the Democrats and the Republicans are saying about a pending U.S. immigration bill. No. Every time doctors from foreign countries show up and label the latest rounds of illness and death with a disease name, you know they're lying. Because you can see inside your shack and out in the street all the conditions that are destroying people. If there's a word in your language that approximates shithole, you've used it yourself 1,000 times to describe your country. You've similar words to describe the president of your country. So-called political correctness is not on your personal radar. You don't care who's sitting in the White House today, who sat in it yesterday. Trump, Obama, Bush, Clinton, it doesn't matter. None of them have done anything to help raise up your people. If someone told you about the uproar in the press in the capital city of the U.S. concerning Trump's latest remark, you would see all that is just another way to distract people from the fact that your people are sick and dying. Who is talking about you?
That's exactly how I feel, and I've made some comments about that before.
You certainly have, even here. Yeah.
Right. So if you give me a couple of minutes, I'd like to comment on that.
Sure.
I think a great historical example, and I love history, you know, after you go past a certain age, you love the History Channel and all the history shows and books and stuff, you know, and I'm past that certain age. So all we have to do is study history. And so the most glaring example of this very attitude that still exists is the invasion of the Spaniards and England to America and how they treated the people who already lived here. In many ways, the people who lived here were superior. For once, they bathed every day. They lived in relative peace. But they did not share the capitalistic mentality of the invaders. So they lived in peace, in harmony with the environment. And so when the Spaniards and the British got here, they saw people who were not using the land the way they would use it. And since they had guns, germs, and steel, mm-hmm. that's the title of a great book.
Okay.
They were able to prevail over what they saw were inferior people. But there was nothing inferior about the lifestyle, the more simple lifestyle that the original Americans were living, because they wanted to live in harmony with the environment instead of exploit it. And so that mentality won, and so they were able to oppress, throw in the religious aspect of the natives, that they believed that the invaders were gods because of many other reasons that I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yes, that's collateral. Yeah.
Exactly. And so here we got these Europeans conquering and infecting, bringing their bugs to the natives. So over 15 million people died then. And so that created the illusion that the capitalistic fight with the environment mentality is superior. It is not. look at the problems we're having throughout the world because of that mentality. And then to perpetuate that mentality, of course, we had to convince these shithole countries that they had to take our loans, do capitalism our way, allow our military to go in and perpetuate all those injustices so that we could rape their countries and take out their resources. And all you have to do is read Chaos Theory, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, et cetera, et cetera. And there you have it. That's why those countries are shitholes.
Well, we're going to, for a moment here, take a break. And we'll be right back and continue this, I would say, very foundational conversation about the reality that this world is facing today. This is Johnny Bluestar, CEO of New Galaxy Enterprises, a media content development company. One of the most important positioning strategies in this world of social media is the profile. This could be, of course, a profile on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, speaking of the most popular. But profiles are also used in personal and business websites, prospectuses, brochures, authors' bios for books and publisher presentations, on record albums, and film investment presentations. We've been involved in these kinds of content, and we'd be happy to help you put your best foot forward. To learn more about New Galaxy, see samples of our work, or talk to us about your project, please go to www.newgalaxyenterprises.com and fill out the contact form. And now, a clip of Patricia Welch in her version of Unchained Melody, available now in her 3-CD set, Great Entertainment, Cocktail, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia Welch.
Century, El Tesoro de Cielo, a Spanish treasure ship sends a scouting expedition to a strange island. Golden statues surrounding them prove the enormity of their find. Suddenly, hordes of ghoulish creatures with scaly green flesh and skeletal wings descend upon them from the sky.
What do you think of this, Rufio?
These creatures are fragile, Captain. We can take them with our swords.
They seem supernatural. Who knows what powers they possess?
Fallen angels, weakened by their treason.
By God, are you saying they're Nephilim, the devil's host?
I'm saying whatever they are, we can take them. Do any of you cowards dare join me?
Up against sharp knife-like nails and hideous fangs, the men's swords rip into slimy green flesh. Though black blood pours copiously from their half-naked bodies, the creatures miraculously persist. Can the crew survive this bloody, cursed battle?
Find out more by Googling The Thrice Born, a new sci-fi supernatural novel by Carlos Lopez Avery and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born. That's Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born.
Okay, we're back. And I found what you said to be, what can I say? It's just like a bell ringing with the truth, you know, throughout my immediate environment. It's just terrible what has been happening in this country because before, it wasn't so, it was sort of more hidden. And now it's not hidden. Maybe it's a good thing that it's not hidden, but it's really horrible to watch, you know?
Yes, you know, I grew up in the 50s in Chile, just idolizing the United States, you know, and then came the space race. And now I'm just enthralled of American technology and know-how. And all the movies coming out, you know, half of the movies in Chile, and still, I'm sure, in other countries, are American movies.
Yeah.
And so I grew up thinking, oh my, geez, I'd love to immigrate to the United States. So there was nothing wrong with America. Of course, there were some rumblings from mestizos, discontent, who sided more with Russia. But they were dismissed as poor, ignorant jungle bunnies, if you will. And so I had a chance to immigrate as a student on a student visa with stars in my eyes. But then I began to see, oh my, we got problems here, particularly in the 70s with Frank Church's committee on investigating the CIA after Watergate. So I began to see, oh my, we got serious issues here, particularly how we relate to other countries. So I became a dropout. I just said, you know, I don't want anything to do with this. But, you know, in my old age, I've come to see how great this country is. The ideals we try to live by are unparalleled. Even France, which I also grew up idolizing because of my father, has a lot of problems. They don't have the equality that we have here. They talk a pretty talk, but they're very elitist and aristocratic. They're not mm-hmm. an open society like we are, where anybody can get up there. Of course, it's sort of being curtailed right now, you know, the American dream, but we still have it. You know, it's sort of comatose, if you will, but it's still there, the ideals and all that. So I love this country. I do. It's just that it's in the hands of corporatists, elitists, who want to perpetuate this toxic relationship with our environment and other people. And so I think people are waking up to this fact. I'm really hopeful that Mr. Trump and all his rhetoric and are waking people up. You know, even his supporters. I'm sorry, but if I had voted for Trump, I wouldn't you be ashamed at some level?
I would be shocked out of my mind, but I have a friend who is a very interesting and intelligent person. And this friend of mine, he sort of backed away from Trump for a while, and then he went right back into it. And I just couldn't get it. I couldn't grasp it. Because everything that Trump has promised these people, except for maybe jobs in a certain context, has not come true. He's taking away their parks. He's taking away their environmental safety, their financial protections. He's taking away their health, you know, any kind of health insurance that they might have, or he's depreciating it. He's taking away their overall finances and giving that money to the wealthy in these gigantic tax cuts. Why wouldn't they be disillusioned by now?
You know, Johnny, I never have been able to understand my brother, who is kind of like that. The guy's poor. I mean, he's so poor, the poor guy. But yet he always votes for these people who want to take everything from us and give it to the big guys. So why are you voting for these people? Oh, because of they are against abortion. Oh, because they're against gay marriage. And he gives me all these other reasons that are sort of ethereal concepts that don't even touch your life. Yes, they're important issues, but they're kind of smoke and mirrors to appeal to a mentality that is a bit, in my opinion, self-righteous about other people's.
Well, a lot of these scriptures, you know, what they're, I'm talking now about perhaps, I'm talking about the Christian scriptures. They do on their surface really provide a strong sense of support for the state. And so what happens, I think, is that people who are taking a lot of this very, very literally in one interpretation or another, they start to downsize everything that happens that is really the result of the state, like war. And even like taking care of poverty and welfare, which is also obviously part of the gospels to help the poor. But because of that strong emphasis, it sort of makes them more of an agent of the state, which I think was the original goal of the way these words were created after Christ's death.
Yes, I have to agree with that. The fly in the ointment is what kind of government we have. If we have a really good government, hey, sign me up. I'll do anything you tell me, right?
Yeah.
But if we got a government that's totalitarian and fascist, then we got a problem. For instance, a big issue here in Utah is the federal lands that were sort of given back to the state. And I have a good friend like you who says, yes, we have a right to use our lands the way we want. And I'm thinking, that's not the issue. Of course we have a right to use the lands the way we want. But the majority of Utahns are saying, let's use it to put it aside, treat it respectfully, and have Native Americans in those lands respect their traditions. So the point is not, it's our land to use. There's no argument there. It's how we use it. And so a lot of people are misled by ethereal concepts, and they forget the practical application of it, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's, well, there's something that I've worked on for a while when I was studying cults. And it's basically called the what I call remote indoctrination. Remote indoctrination is the ability to utilize mind control without actually a lot of personal contact. And I believe that the political establishment is an expert on that. And what has happened is that because of the rhetoric and the use of not just broadcasting, but the printed word, they've created a programming tool to make people into basically conform. They're conforming to party lines, and these party lines are obviously very, very flawed. Both of them, the establishment party lines, but people don't think. They have transferred a sense of their authority to the leaders of their party and to the party line, and that can actually be done through a combination of repetition, sort of engendering them a fear of not being, part of the community which they, might be, the party, which might provide them a certain sense of belonging, whether or not they partake of any kind of, community experiences with that party. But basically, the lines, the sort of approach is repeated over and over again, and stated by authorities. And that's basically what I think is the problem. It's something that needs to be analyzed very carefully, but it's the programming of America. And they're programmed in different ways to basically agree with the supremacy of the state.
Programming is the right word. I read a book that alerted me to this in my youth by Fromm. Escape from Freedom.
Uh-huh.
And so this psychologist, really gets into the meat of all this. But, this is a very, very old way of doing business and politics and governments. The Romans called it bread and circus. If you keep a population fed with sugary foods that mess with your cognition, and give them a lot of dumb entertainment, then you can tell them anything you want. They're already happy. They're numbed. And the Russians did it really well. They created even a word. I can't remember the word, but it's a word that connotes brainwashing people through fake news. And then we ourselves did it. The CIA called it Operation Mockingbird. And if anybody wants to Google that, they'll see how the CIA and other government agencies have bought the press. Of course, you know, the press is fighting back quite a bit right now, but you have to wonder, you know, when eggs are flying back and forth and tomatoes and all that, you know, we need to try to dig ourselves and find the truth for ourselves, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I'm seeing the same sort of programming continuing on, even despite everything else. I mean, it's, again, it's distracting people in different ways, but it's still a distraction.
Right. Johnny, were you going to bring up the Fire and Fury at some point?
Yeah, we can definitely bring that up. There's so much to bring up. I mean, like today, the announcement I think it was the New York Times, that Trump had paid off a porn star to hide his affair. I mean, it's hard to remember that was 2 days ago. I mean, Wolf's book, but yeah, let's talk about it.
Well, yeah, go ahead and tell me your impression.
My impression is that he probably, I don't know, but I mean, probably then most of it is accurate. I mean, at least it's in accord with what other people say is going out in the White House. And it seems like, you know, the relationship with Bannon, I don't know if he misquoted Bannon or not, but Bannon doesn't seem to be denying it too much. So, I don't know. It seems like it's probably true to a large extent. What do you think?
Well, I was fortunate to watch Meet the Press last Sunday. And the author of the book, what's his name?
Sorry, anyway, I know who you mean. I can't recall.
Right. So he was interviewed, and oh man, he just didn't sound credible. His analogies were off the mark. He ho-hummed a lot. He wasn't articulate. He just didn't sound credible, and he was called on a lot of errors in the book. Having said that, I think he did touch on a very disgruntled portion of not only the White House, but D.C., Washington, D.C., and the country. Uh-huh. So there's a lot of truth in the book. I just think that there's still a lot of people who love Trump and don't see his actions as evil as the book might tell us. So I'm of two minds. I think it just the book accurately represents those of us, me included, who think the man is unfit for office. And so was it overdone? Maybe. But I think in essence, yeah, I agree with you. There's a lot of truth in it.
And just, you know, one of the problems that we have is that, of course, we weren't there. And I mean, like, for instance, this allegation that Trump paid off this porn star for an affair. She's denied it. The lawyer involved in this basically presented that, you know, something she signed, and that there was no hush money involved. Trump denied, but yesterday, I mean, yeah, the other day, Trump denied that he had actually said this thing about shithole countries. So it's hard to know what the truth is.
Exactly.
But we're forced to make good guesses because, like someone said recently that I heard, you know, this is not a court. It's not a court of justice. It's opinion. But these are the opinions that you have to have if you're going to vote. You're not going to know everything. And in this age and day, you probably are going to be fed a lot of inaccuracies.
You know, Johnny, because of the nature of our show and what we do on the side and our own philosophies, I have to say this. Mystics throughout history have known this is the problem. So they have told us, and they have trained their minds and hearts to live by intuition. Of course, you know, if we're not really concentrating on finding the truth and being honest about it, intuition may be influenced by more darker motives and more nefarious motives, and there we go, misled, as you were saying before. But if we're really honest about seeking truth, we have to let go sometimes and rely by being guided by a higher power.
Yes.
And so I think that's what you're alluding to, that at the end of the day, maybe we should get on our knees and say, Lord, help me figure this out, you know, because there's so much static out there. And, you know, I find like McNamara, remember McNamara?
Sure.
Well, this guy was just a hawk, like of highest magnitude, and greatly responsible for the debacle of the Vietnam War. But then he wrote a book about 15 years ago, in essence, apologizing.
That's right.
And so it seems like we don't find the truth until 20, 40 years later with some yahoo writes a tell-all book, you know?
Well, Perón's vice president candidate with him was a Air Force pilot who basically led the charge against North Vietnam when they bombed them as a result of the Tonkin Bay incident. And in his book, he reports how he was around that event and how he was trying to find the ships that were supposedly attacking. That, in other words, they were doing some, you know, sort of sound effects, and they were just kind of creating a audio version of something that wasn't happening. And he was flying around there trying to find what was going on. And he knew that very well when he went and led these planes into North Korea. And this is the same situation that McCain found himself in. And a lot of these people knew. They knew that we had created this situation. And
The Gulf of Tonkin is what you're talking about, with Gulf of total Tonkin, right. White flag operation. So one of the things that guides my thinking is General Butler's book, War is a Racket.
Yeah.
And so whenever I hear saber rattling, I take it with a grain of salt. I'm thinking, wait a minute, who's going to benefit if we go to war? Well, the answer is pretty clear. The corporatists, the fascists, who'd make a whole lot of money and quiet the country down by distracting us from really important issues, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, let's just go to war.
That's right. You know? Well, that's it's just okay. So let's just take a sort of a broader look here for a second, and let's go into in the next segment what will we do about this in the most broad and truthful way to try and change things. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
This is Johnny Bluestar, CEO of New Galaxy Enterprises, a media content development company. My company, under the direction of our technical director, Hassan Khan, specializes in the development of user-friendly WordPress sites. These may be used in manifold ways to promote products and services, to become a platform, a forum for your ideas, or your special interests or fascinations, or to enhance your personal image. To learn more about New Galaxy, see samples of our work, or talk to us about your project, please go to www.newgalaxyenterprises.com and fill out the contact form.
If you're not fond of books, you may be interested in watching Dr. Rodier's slide presentation on his website, hugorodier.com. That's HUGORODIER.com. It lasts 48 minutes and explains the simple roots of all diseases with pictures and graphs that are easy to understand. The presentation includes basic principles of physics, philosophy, anthropology, and history to truly integrate the most vital pillars of human health. Now here's Patricia Welch in the classic standard, Top of the World.
A feeling's coming over me. There is wonder in most everything I see. Not a cloud in the sky, got the sun in my eyes, and I won't be surprised if it's a dream. Everything I want the world to be is now coming true, especially for me. And the reason is clear, it's because you are here. You're the nearest thing to heaven that I've seen. I'm on the top of the world looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world. Something in the wind has learned my name, and it's telling me that things are not the same. In the leaves on the trees and the touch of the breeze, there's a pleasing sense of happiness for me. There is only one wish on my mind. When this day is through, I hope that I will find that tomorrow will be just the same for you and me. All I need will be mine if you are here. I'm on the top of the world looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world. I'm on the top of the world looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world. Your love's put me at the top of the world. Your love's put me at the top of the world.
We're back on Threshold Radio, and we're discussing various things connected with sort of citizen and human rights throughout the world. And I incorporate, you know, in terms of citizen rights, things like health and safety, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, things that fall under the area of life. And I think that I believe, you know, I sort of believe like Thomas Paine might have believed. I do believe in sort of spreading the word about the American ideal. But instead of spreading the word about the American ideal, we're spreading the practice of tremendous greed, selfishness, and destructiveness throughout the world.
Amen. I totally agree. Johnny, you mentioned before the break, what can we do? And you also said before at the beginning of the show that you used to work for an outfit trying to get people to vote more, to go out and vote more.
Yes.
I tell you, I'm going to make a confession.
Mm-hmm.
I don't vote in Utah. You know why? Because my vote is always wasted. It always goes to the Republicans. And so why vote? The Republican guy or woman is going to win. Mm-hmm. I think the vote should be changed to national. Then my vote would count, and I would go out gladly and vote. And so if in the last election the vote had been national, we wouldn't be having these discussions. But I got to tell you, I don't like Hillary either. So I voted for Johnson. So my vote would have been wasted anyway. But you get the
I voted for Sanders.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I think Sanders... Hillary stole the Democratic nomination from Sanders.
Yes, I think that's probably true. We've talked about it in other programs. What I wanted to actually touch on here, you see those last conversations we had about Jerusalem, about moving the embassy, and remember we went over the different types of resolutions that were made that both Trump and the United States have basically ignored. And I think that this is true of a lot of things that go on in the United Nations. A lot of things are going on under behind the scenes that are not being taken care of. And the sort of Declaration of Human Rights of the United Nations is kind of being ignored. And I think that you have, again, like in the United States, you've got some powerful documents there, setting forth some great ideals. But we actually need to have a world government that works, that doesn't serve mega corporations and billionaires. We need a government that actually works. And we need the people of the world to get together to use their extraordinary power of people to make something happen. The question is, how can we do that? And what would it be like?
You know, I remember 20 years ago, here in Salt Lake City, I was the president of the Alliance Française, and you may have heard of that organization. It's a Francophile throughout the world. I get together under that name and have wine and cheese and reminisce about the old country and talk about French things, you know. So I was the president, and I was in charge of writing an editorial in our newsletter, La Gazette. And about that time, the European Union was being formed, Maastricht, the Treaty of Maastricht. And I just exulted over this development in my editorials, how it was so great to come together and be united in one single government. And I could not understand the opposition, because I bought hook, line, and sinker the idea that if we were all together, there'll be peace and we'll get along and we'll respect each other. Of course, you know, I mean, how can you argue with that?
It's a nice idea.
Exactly. What I didn't see at the time is this simple fact that one world government has ended up in the hands of the powerful, the elitist, who want nothing but maximize their profits and put us down, the rest of the 99%, if you will. And so, in practical terms, yes, this is the result, that the people have been left out of the banquet. And so I didn't see that coming. And I have to confess, I was very naive. Now, do I still support a world government where we all get along and we don't fight anymore? Well, who doesn't? It's just that in practical terms, it just hasn't worked that way.
Well, when I was born, actually, and as soon as I could think, I believed that there should, I don't know why, but anyway, I did believe very clearly that there should be a world government and sort of a world police to take care of things, you know, to enforce the law. And so when I began to hear about the one world government, particularly from evangelical circles in the beginning, this was sort of conspiracy stuff, but very primitive. And I was amazed. How could they look at a world government this way? You know, this is terrible. This is like the Antichrist, like, you know, they're saying the Antichrist.
Right.
And all the things about a world government were actually put down. Just like it's kind of strange how the a lot of the evangelical community is looking at Jerusalem in the way that certain components of the Jewish community, I'm talking about sort of a very small number perhaps, are looking, and also in Iran, in certain Shiites, they're looking for the end of the world to come with a conflagration in the holy city, right? That's pretty amazing. That's like the opposite of reality. And that's the problem, is that the opposite of truth is illusion. And the world, because of the state of mind of much of the world, including individuals, not just governments, it's not aligned with deity. I believe that the only real safety net that we actually have in the long run is to get beyond our thoughts and feelings and get into another level of awareness. And that awareness, I think, has been, you know, the custodian has been taken care of by what you were calling mystics in the beginning of our conversation. But that consciousness is the consciousness that can produce good results, good manifestation. And so the development of a world government needs to have at its foundation at least a certain amount of people who have reached out and are finding these ideas and practices and methodologies from another level.
Yes, I totally agree. I have to say that I've always had mixed feelings about getting on the air and expressing these opinions, because I have come to believe, just like you, that the answer is in the epiphanies and the teachings of the mystics, and in giving up control with our minds and trying to live by the heart and listen to that still voice. Mm-hmm. And so as much as I rant and rave, and I can get pretty dramatic because of my cultural background.
Right.
You've heard me say it, you know, I go home and I laugh, you know, because at one level, I agree with Henry Miller, who said that the world is in order. We must not try to put it in order. We must try to put ourselves in order. And so if we truly trust that higher power, that guiding consciousness that we can call God if you want, then we will see that everything that's happening, there's a reason behind it, and we're just too dumb to understand it. Even Mr. Trump must be some reason we don't understand. And so as much as I rant and rave, you know, I'm thinking, okay, well, we're going through a period of cleansing, a period of awakening, and that is not easy. It leads to pain and conflict and confusion and anger. Yeah, it's like a divorce. Sometimes a divorce, as ugly as it is, is necessary. Not that I...
Well, I think that there's a... I call it the threshold. As you approach the threshold, which is the beginning of the growth of spiritual awareness, you begin to see the relationship between the being in spirit and manifestation, which I would like to see, of course, on a political level as well. But before that, before you begin to experience that, and this goes for many different points of view and many different, perhaps even lifetimes, you go through a periods of slowly beginning to realize that the only way that things will change is if you surrender the ego.
Exactly.
The ego being that part of you that's apart from God. Like there's a saying, the philosopher's stone is found in the dung heap. And the dung heap is the human ego. Inside of all of us, there's this core relationship to God, but it's so veiled. And when you have greed and fear, which are basically motivating, I think, most of what's happening politically, you lose sight of, and you actually cloud your ability to make that spiritual contact.
Yes, Johnny, you're saying the same thing I just said.
I know.
Eloquently.
Thank God somebody else is saying it too.
Right. We're just coming at it from different viewpoints and background, but I'm totally in agreement. The only thing I would tweak here is the word surrender. I just think that we never had control. We have the illusion of control. And so perhaps the better word, and I understand how you use it and I use it myself, it just English gets in the way. Perhaps the better word might be understanding that we were never in control, admitting that we were never in control, accepting that we were never in control. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think, but it's a complex thought.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about is, okay, so I'll give you an example. This is a really ridiculous example, but I invest in certain things, right? And I try to be in a certain state of mind when I invest. And I've been doing this for a while now. And let's say I'm investing in stocks. And I realized at a certain point that, yeah, I was trying to get sort of, quote, messages, sort of get guidance. I was really trying. But I was basically acting out of fear or out of greed. And so I had to release that. I had to release that so I could surrender, I'm going to use that word intentionally, to the experience of spirit. And I do think that in certain ways that it's appropriate to say that that's an act of will. That's a decision that you make.
Yeah, I get it. Two points.
It's hard to put these things in words.
That's why we love allegories and symbols, you know, because they can do a better job. And I think the symbol we're talking about here is alchemy.
Mm.
Alchemy, a lot of people get sucked into it for the wrong reason. They want to make gold so they can go buy a lot of houses and women and who knows what else and have power and all that, right? But the true meaning of alchemy is what you said, is the development of our spiritual self and surrendering or accepting whatever the word is so that we can transform ourselves. Johnny, you're going to love this article that came out like about 10 years ago.
Okay.
It's an article, a medical article, that showed that people with brain damage make better decisions in the stock market.
Really?
Yes, I'll find it and I'll send it to you. And note, what's a take-home message? That if you stop thinking and trying to figure things out and go by the seat of your pants, when you're well motivated, you'll probably make better decisions.
Well, yeah, that could be true, but there's always the hope
if you could get into
a state of awareness,
yeah,
that's real. Whatever opportunities there are for you you'd be guided to, and exactly, those things would manifest.
Look, Johnny, I could come over to your house and hit you with a baseball bat over the head. Maybe you'll make better stock choices.
Yeah, could be. But who knows? So, I think that we've had a really interesting discussion. Unfortunately, it's going to continue next week, probably with some of the similar themes, because I don't think that our political reality is going to be going into a straight line for at least a few months, right?
No, and you know, it's so entertaining. I'm sorry, but that's how I keep my sanity. You know, it's like a reality show, which Mr. Trump has a lot of experience in.
Well, so I'm going to say, I'm going to see you next week, and we will continue our discussion. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Johnny.
We want to thank you for listening to Inalienable and Free, a program which looks at geopolitics from a spiritual point of view, believing that the inalienable rights spoken of in the Declaration are aligned with the nature of the Creator. As such, the mission of this program is to create awareness of these rights, to protect them, and to facilitate governmental actions that will align with them, ultimately through the electoral process. Yes, we enjoin those who savor these rights to take action to safeguard them, but also appeal to those who have given up for maintaining them or have actually joined with those who repress them to try and rediscover their value. You will find if you do, you will also rediscover yourself, blessed by the Creator with the prosperity, liberty, and freedom we know is the true legacy of every citizen on planet Earth. This is Johnny Bluestar, CEO of New Galaxy Enterprises, a media content development company. One of our highly useful services is our audio and video editing service, overseen by Hassan Khan, our Director of Technical Services. We can also help edit and write the original content for your video and even produce it, depending on its content and direction. To learn more about New Galaxy, see samples of our work, or talk to us about your project, please go to www.newgalaxyenterprises.com and fill out the contact form. And now we go out with Mr. Dynamite, the godfather of soul, the inimitable James Brown, in Living in America. Yes.